time to play the puzzle. This week, we have such a special treat for you guys. We are actually in New York right now visiting our dear friend, Will, who is joining us in person. He is right beside me right now.
First time ever.
First time ever. He is the puzzle editor of the New York Times and puzzle master of Weekend Edition. Will, it is nice to finally meet you.
It's great to meet you. This is so much fun.
So much fun. So, Will, you are going to be taking us around this table tennis club, the Westchester Table Tennis Center. And so we're going to spend the day together. I'm very excited about that. But first, you know, we got to get down to business. We got to play this puzzle. And this week, we are doing things a little bit differently. We're playing with a couple of friends of yours. Will, do you want to introduce them?
Yes, it's my friend Josh Wardle. You know him as the inventor of Wordle. And he'll be playing with his partner, Pollock Shah.
So welcome to the show, Josh and Pollock.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
So, Josh, I have to say, we have Will Shortz here, and then we have the inventor of Wordle. It's kind of like the Beatles and Rolling Stones getting together on one stage. Like, how does this feel to you, Josh?
Oh, this feels amazing. And I also need to, I feel like when it comes to puzzles in our house, including Wordle, Pollock is kind of the brains of the operation, really. So, yeah, I don't know what that is. The Beatle, the Stones.
Plus the Who.
So how did the idea of Wordle come to you?
Well, it came very slowly over the course of about 7 years. I'd had an idea for a game. It's based on an old game called Mastermind. And I wanted to make a game for her. And so over the course of 7 years, I built the game for her. It was very bizarre that it then went as viral as it did.
And it became this huge thing. So, Pollock, we have you to thank for Wordle.
I'm happy to share it with the world.
All right. Well, I always ask, are y'all ready to play the puzzle? So I got to ask this time, are you ready to play the puzzle?
Yes.
Yes.
Take it away, Will.
All right, Josh and Pollock, I'm going to read you some sentences. In each one, find two words that sound like two other words that are synonyms. For example, if I said, I can pair an apple too, you would say pair and two, that P-A-R-E and T-O-O sound like P-A-I-R and T-W-O, which are synonyms. So find the two words that sound like synonyms, and here's number one. My dog's paws got stuck under the car's brake.
Paws and brake.
Oh. Pause and break. I like those better.
Pause and break. You got it. Today's spelling lesson is about words with silent E's. Here it is again. Today's spelling lesson is about words with silent E's.
I'm struggling to
E's think. Is definitely one of them.
E's, like easy.
Today's spelling lesson. Lesson.
Lesson, yeah. Lesson into E's as synonyms.
Ooh, yeah. Will, I told you I had to have Pollock here. Definitely the brains.
In India, several lower castes are in the throes of change.
Throes and castes.
Throes and castes. Good job. The wild hare has a hankering for bagels and lox.
I'll let you I have it. But Josh, I'll let you do it.
Oh, wow. hair and locks.
Hair and locks, good job. After his shift ended, the worker hied to the bank to cash his paycheck.
That's,
go for it, Josh.
Oh, thank you. That's hide and cash.
Hide and cash, C-A-C-H-E,
oh,
right.
Goodness.
Okay, and here's your last one. The seamstress would vary the way she'd sew.
I feel like I have three in there.
Go for it.
Give three.
Would vary and sews?
Vary and sew, V-E-R-Y and S-O are both our synonyms. So vary and sew, you got it.
Amazing job. So how do you feel?
How do you feel, Pollock?
Relieved.
Yeah, I think it's a sense of relief.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, y'all did a great job. For playing our puzzle today, you'll get a Weekend Edition lapel pin as well as puzzle books and games. You can read all about it at npr.org/puzzle. And what member station do you guys listen to?
WNYC, and a shout out to KQED. that we used to listen to back when we were in Oakland.
That's Pollock Shaw and her partner, Josh Wardle, the inventor of Wordle. Thank you so much for playing the puzzle.
Thank you, Aisha. Thank you, Will.
Thank you.
Okay, Will, so I know we're in the middle of a 2-week challenge, so remind us what that is.
Yes, it's a creative challenge. Name a geographical place, then describe it acrostically using the letters in its name. For example, Albany could be described acrostically as administering legislative business at New York. The place can be anywhere in the world, the U.S. or abroad. Entries will be judged on originality, sense, naturalness of wording, elegance, and overall effect. You may submit up to 3 entries, and the person who sends the best entry, in my opinion, will play Puzzle on the Air with me next week.
Okay, so when you have a submission, go to our website, npr.org/puzzle, and click on the Submit Your Answer link. Our deadline for entries this week is Wednesday, November 15th at 3 p.m. Eastern. Don't forget to include a phone number where we can reach you. If you're the winner, we'll give you a call, and if you pick up the phone, you'll get to play on the air with the puzzle editor of the New York Times and puzzle master of Weekend Edition, Will Shortz. Okay, Will, let's get to playing some table tennis or something. So before we get into the tour of the table tennis club, which was so much fun, I want to stop here and make a little bit of a confession. Before I started hosting Weekend Edition Sunday, I was very concerned about the puzzle. Will Shortz has been on the show longer than anyone else. People always talked about the puzzle, and I didn't really know if it was for me. I'm not competitive at all, and I don't do crosswords or anything like that in my free time. But what won me over immediately was the devotion of the audience and the commitment of Will Shortz. And that was totally on display at the Table Tennis Club, which Will has co-owned and operated since 2009. At the front of the club, there are these big display cases filled with table tennis memorabilia, and I spied a black and white picture of a young man playing the game. Wait, now, are these pictures of you playing?
That is me in high school, so
wait,
I tell you.
Wait, which picture? Okay, this is a black and white picture.
That's me on the left, the guy in the white
shirt.
You on
the left. Okay, so it's a black and white picture. Yeah. So we see a young Will Shortz. Now, in here, you in a button-up. That's what I expected
you to be in.
You
had to wear a shirt. When I was in high school, you had to wear a collared shirt.
You had to wear like a collared shirt.
T-shirt's not
allowed.
He's
in a collared shirt and slacks. And this black and white picture, and he's playing. Now, were you beating this guy real bad?
I was beating him.
And then came time for the puzzle master to teach me a little bit about his other passion. Don't call it ping pong.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Okay.
Yes.
I think I got that.
I've only played a few times before, but with Will's coaching, I got better. Like, for real.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Gentle Xiao, 2 in a row. 3 in a row. Oh!
After he was done schooling me on table tennis, Will and I sat down to talk about what you know him best for, being New York Times puzzle editor, and before that, Weekend Edition's puzzle master.
Will Shortz has promised to puzzle us on Weekend Edition. He is senior editor of Games Magazine. And, Will, you're not exactly going to be doing crossword puzzles, my favorite art form, on the radio for us, but you are going to do logic puzzles, other sorts of things, huh?
I have an original word puzzle for you today relating to oxymorons.
Oh, my favorite thing.
So, as you know, Susan Stamberg started the show in January 1987. Her idea was that Weekend Edition Sunday should be the radio equivalent of a Sunday newspaper. And you get your news and culture and sports and everything. We all know what's the most important part of the Sunday paper, and it's the puzzle.
Yeah.
So inquiries made their way to me, and the challenge was, how do you do puzzles on the radio?
Yeah.
Most puzzles are written, and you can't do that on radio.
Yeah, no.
And furthermore, most puzzles require you to sit and think with periods of silence, which you can't do on radio. So I came up with this idea of quick word teasers.
So, but how does it feel to be 37 years in?
How
does that feel?
Well, it feels great. I love coming up with new ideas every week. I love the people I come in contact with through puzzles. And you know, they're self-selected. Yeah. In order to get on the show, you have to solve a challenge.
Yeah.
You have to have something on the ball to get on the show. There's a lot of people who listen to Weekend Edition Sunday. I'm imagining people lazing in bed.
Yeah.
Or making breakfast.
Yes.
Or driving to church.
Yeah.
And that means that they're not writing anything down.
Yeah.
So every challenge puzzle is something you can hold in your head and think about and write down later if you want.
Okay, so what is it that you love about games so much and, like, these puzzles so much?
I feel like I'm a long-distance entertainer. I can turn anything into a game.
Mm-hmm.
I remember once, my dad was not a very playful person, but I remember once when we were on a trip out west and we were driving, and we came to the top of a hill, like in the Rocky Mountains, and you could see the top of a hill, you know, miles and miles away. And he stopped the car,
mm-hmm.
and challenged everyone in the family to guess how many miles it was to the top of the other hill.
Oh.
What a cool thing.
Yeah.
And my guess was way off, but I'm the sort of person who can turn anything into a game.
Like, was there ever a point where you thought, I don't know that I can make a living with this?
Yeah. Well, in the eighth grade,
mm-hmm.
when asked to write a paper on what I wanted to do with my life, mm-hmm. I said, a professional puzzle maker. Can you imagine a kid deciding that is his life's desire? Well, that's what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
And I was willing to live in an attic somewhere and churn out my little puzzles, you know, for $10 each and try to scrape out a living. So that's why, you know, I have the world's only college degree in puzzles.
What did you name it?
Enigmatology.
Oh, enigmatology. Okay, enigmatology.
And I did not make up that word. It's an old word. Originally, it meant the study of riddles. It goes back to the 18th century. I updated the word to mean puzzles of all sorts.
Okay.
So when I studied at college, all my courses in my major were independent learning.
Okay.
And I'd find professors who'd work with me. And, mm-hmm. you know, if I was studying English puzzles, math mm-hmm. puzzles in the math department, and so on. And so that's how I got my
degree.
The world's only degree in that.
Talking to Will, it's clear that puzzles are his first love. But he also had this light about him that seemed to come from the new love that has transformed his life. We went to Will's home, a short drive from the Table Tennis Center, and we got to see another side of the puzzle master. Well, let's talk about this, because we talked a little bit about your love, you know, when you got married. But you came out at in the New Yorker article. What made you want to do that?
They had a great interview at the New Yorker, and it was all about puzzles. And near the end, the writer asked me, you know, how's life? And I said, life is really good. In fact, for the first time in my life, I have a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And just left it at that. And I can imagine the writer going back to her staff and thinking, we can't leave the interview like that. We have to find out more.
Yeah.
So she called and said, can I ask you some more questions? And that's when I just explained everything about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I am probably the first person who ever outed himself in the New Yorker.
Well, you may not be. I seem like the New Yorker is a good place to do it.
It's a great place. Yeah, I thought it was a very classy place to do it.
It's a very, very classy place to do it. So a lot of people will listen to this and they'll go, well, Will, why? I mean, at age 70, you're just finding love. Why not have a partner before now? I mean, that's a really long time.
Yeah. At first, I was in denial. And then I tried to force myself to like women. And I think by the time I was in my early 30s, I accepted the way I was. But a gay lifestyle wasn't something that I wanted. And I didn't need it. I have a wonderful job, lots of friends. I just live a full life. And then when I was 69, this guy came into my life who I'm crazy about, and he's crazy about me.
And you really didn't date at all, because I think that's what some people may not understand. People may be like, well, but you was like, you know, you probably had some, what they call a sneaky link. But you didn't have no sneaky links or nothing. You were really by yourself.
See, I've dated women over the years, and I've hurt women that way.
Mm.
I had a girlfriend then, and our first date, I told her,
I'm really attracted to men. And she said, that's okay. I never felt in love, you know? It felt nice and comfortable.
But that's not sparks. That's not fire.
It was not sparks, no.
And you got the fire now.
Yeah. The perfect guy in the world for me.
Mm-hmm. So you think it's the perfect match.
Yes.
So do you look at it as things happened the way they should have? Or do you look at it as like, well, I regret what it took to get here. I wish I hadn't have been alone that long. Or do you look at it like, well, you know, everything happened the way that it should have. And I met him when I was ready.
Yes, it's the latter.
Okay.
I met my partner when I was ready. I have no regrets. I mean, it worked out perfectly for both of us.
Not to be too corny, but sometimes the hardest puzzle to crack is how to love yourself. I'm so happy that Will has figured it out.